Unity.com. So, anyone ever feel like that in their job? Like, it just doesn't matter. I had a conversation just a week or two ago with somebody who works part-time at a law office, and they were sharing about how often they would go into work and see people doing anything but work. You know, they would be on Facebook during, you know, right in their cubicle, middle of the day, up on Facebook doing their thing. They would be texting and sending messages, instant message, stuff like that. One day she walked in the morning and she saw somebody sitting at their desk doing all of their personal bills, just at the desk, writing out checks, stamping them, that sort of thing, in the middle of the workday. And so we had this conversation about all this taking place and how shocking it was. And, you know, the reality is a lot of people are just doing whatever it is they do, but their heart really isn't in it, right? Deep down, they think, well, maybe their work doesn't really matter. So instead of working hard at it, they're just kind of cashing it in and going through the motions. Maybe you can relate to that feeling. Now, it's not the only area that it happens in our life. It can happen in our marriage, right? Everything becomes kind of mundane. We don't pursue our husband or our wife like we should. Our conversations, our recreation time, even our sex life can become passionless and kind of superficial. We're just kind of going through the motions. It can happen in parenting. Confess that at times, it does happen in parenting for me. You know, when our kids were little, we were so diligent about making sure we were carving out time together. We'd have a family meal like every night, and we would read Bible stories and pray with them before they went to bed, and we'd snuggle with them, and, you know, we were really on top of it. But as they got older, a lot of that has kind of faded away. Some of it's appropriate, but some of it you kind of miss and wish you'd still done those things. You know, other activities have taken over, and then instead of being maybe diligent to protect some of those times, at least wherever you can, you just kind of let it go, right? You just end up kind of going through the motions. We all know that our employers or our spouses or our kids, they aren't looking for half-hearted effort from us. And most of us would agree that it's really not good to be in that place, right, where we're doing that. But we find ourselves there sometimes anyway, going through the motions. Now, those are important areas of our life, but the same thing can happen to us spiritually in our faith, right? Have you ever found yourself kind of going through the motions when it comes to your faith in your relationship with God? Do you ever find yourself giving, well, kind of a half-hearted effort in your prayer life or in your giving or in your worship, right? Again, we would all agree God's not looking for a half-hearted effort from us. I'm sure we'd agree with that. He doesn't want us going through the motions. There's a number of different times in Scripture that we read about or hear about where God kind of addresses this to us in his word. For instance, listen to the words of David to his son Solomon and their leaders. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, it says this, "David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, 'Is not the Lord your God with you? And has he not given you peace on every side? For he has delivered the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and his people. Now set your mind and heart to seek the Lord your God.'" Set your mind and heart to seek the Lord your God. The word "set" there is about giving, like giving fully to something. So give yourself fully to seeking God, he says. Don't go through the motions. Seek him with all your mind and with all your heart. In the book of Malachi, God is reprimanding his people for going through the motions in their spiritual life. Instead of offering their best sacrifices, and they're offering him lame animals, blind animals, the less than the best of the best. Instead of giving generously to his purposes and of their finances, they're holding out on him, right? And they're neglecting to give. So God challenges them to bring what he required, their best. And listen to his appeal. In Malachi 1:6, God says this, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father," and you can read between the lines there and go, "and I am," right? If then I am a father, and I am, then where is my honor? Where's the honor that's due me, God says? And he says, "If I am a master, and I am, then where is my fear?" Right, where's the reverence and respect that I deserve? Now, it wasn't that he needed their sacrifices, and it actually wasn't that he needed their money, but he wanted their hearts in this. He wanted their hearts, and their hearts weren't in it. He didn't want them going through the motions. Jesus said kind of the same thing in his life when he was teaching about his own teachings. And he said, look, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but then don't do what I say? Right? Don't give me lip service, in other words. Don't just go through the motions. Do what I'm telling you. Otherwise, those words are just useless because your heart isn't in it. So going through the motions is clearly not the place that God wants us to be. Right? But here's the thing. We don't get there overnight, usually. It's something that typically takes place gradually over time. And I think sometimes there are smaller things that we might do or start doing or stop doing that start nudging us in that direction of getting to the place where we're going through the motions. So let me just mention a couple here. They're in your notes. I'll give some examples. First thing is we sometimes start taking shortcuts and stop doing important things. Okay, we start taking shortcuts. For instance, we pick and choose which spiritual activities we'll be a part of, and we skip the others. Right? Well, I'll keep doing worship, and I don't mind serving, but I'm going to pass on giving or connecting with people, right, in a deeper relationship. Or we stop doing important things when we stop inviting people to church, stop engaging people in a spiritual conversation about Jesus. Another way we sometimes do this is we start taking it easy and we stop giving a full effort. Okay, we start to take it easy when maybe we start pulling back from using the gifts that God has given us to serve. Or we stop giving a full effort when we use our gifts, but we really aren't preparing for what we're called to do. Our hearts aren't really there. We're not prayed up for the task at hand. You know, maybe sometimes we get going on this road to going through the motions when we start taking things for granted and stop valuing what we should. We start taking things for granted, stop valuing what we should. So we start taking things for granted when we start to believe things like, oh, it doesn't really matter to God if I'm sinning in this area of my life because, well, he loves me and he's going to forgive me anyway. Or we stop valuing what we should when maybe we stop prioritizing the things of God. And we let other things take their place, sports, entertainment, hobbies, whatever it is. Another couple of ways, we start taking time off or start showing up from our spiritual life. We start taking time off when maybe we start skipping a devotion time, skipping church, right? A lot of times people take vacations over the summer. Here's an example. So when you're traveling, or whether you're traveling, or whether you're hanging out at the house, or going to the lake, or whatever it is you're doing, are you still going to church? Are you still spending some time with God during that time? Or are you taking a vacation from him too? Right? Or we stop showing up. And I think this one's pretty self-explanatory. Some people, they just stop going to church altogether. Right? A lot of people do this, quite honestly, but I don't need to be at church to be a follower of Jesus. But rarely have I, as a pastor, encountered someone who stopped gathering for worship or going to church, and then they were growing leaps and bounds spiritually, right? It's usually the opposite, because that doesn't work. In fact, Scripture says, God says, we're not supposed to forsake assembling together, right? It's harmful to our spiritual well-being, right? Now, again, so these are just maybe some of the ways that start to propel us on this, to coming to this place where we're just going through the motions in our spiritual life. And of course, I think we'd probably all agree that's not a good place to be, right? But sometimes we find ourselves there anyway, and some of these reasons may have contributed to it. Now, if we're really honest about it, maybe as we're sitting here today, we're going, yeah, I'm kind of there. I mean, yep, I'm at church today, but I'm kind of there. I'm struggling with that myself. Or maybe you're headed down that path. You started to take some steps down that path. And we realize that if we kind of keep going in that direction, we might be in for a wake-up call. Right? Maybe we're going to at one point look around us and go, I don't know what happened, but I'm kind of in the middle of a really dry spell spiritually. I'm in this sort of spiritual desert. Right? Dry and thirsty and empty. Or maybe some difficult things end up coming our way. And that's always tough, but then in that moment we realize how much we really haven't been relying on God, because it spurs us to cling to Him. Or maybe we find ourselves falling time and time and time again into a behavior that we know God calls sinful. Right? See, when it comes to our faith, God doesn't want us going through the motions. But this morning, you know, how can we avoid coming to that place? Or if maybe that's where you're at today, how can we get out of that rut? Okay, that's what we want to take a look at in the next few moments of our time together. We're going to dive into a passage from Scripture that I think can help us in this area. And so if you want to turn to 1 Kings chapter 8, we're going to be looking at verse 57. The words will also be up on the screens. I'm following along on my mobile app. There is an awesome, we use the ESV here, and if you ever just want to download it onto your mobile device or your phone or whatever, you can follow right along with us on Sunday morning. So I'm doing that this morning. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 57. And this is Solomon talking here and kind of praying a prayer over the people. And he says this: "The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his rules, which he commanded our fathers. Let these words of mine, which I have pleaded before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night. And may he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as each day requires, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no other. Let your heart, therefore, be wholly true to the Lord our God, walking in his statutes and keeping his commandments as at this day." Now, King Solomon was the third of the kings in Israel's history. He lived about 800 years before the time of Jesus, so this is Old Testament story. The words that we're reading is part of a prayer, a benediction, really, a prayer that he is praying over himself and the people, okay? Now, we talked about Solomon a few weeks ago, if you were here when we looked at Proverbs 21. If you remember, Solomon was a man who had lots of wisdom, right? He wrote the book of Proverbs, which is this collection of wise sayings that he wrote and were gathered. He wrote Ecclesiastes, which talks about the meaninglessness and the meaning of life. It's pretty intense. He was blessed with wisdom from God. Unfortunately, he was also a man who had a divided heart. Right? He couldn't devote his heart fully to one woman. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He couldn't devote his heart fully to one God, the one true God. And so his heart was led into worshiping idols and other, false gods in his day. And that, of course, affected his people and turned them into following the wrong things. It led to all kinds of sin. Now, eventually, because of his divided heart, Solomon's kingdom was divided and torn in two. So toward the end of his life, he's kind of going through the motions spiritually. But when he said these words, when he prayed these words, that wasn't the case. And so there's incredible wisdom that's coming here that we want to take a look at for a few moments. Because I think when I read this, I thought, there are three things here that I really believe can help us avoid going through the motions and break that complacency that we sometimes find in our spiritual lives. Okay, so three things. First of all, we'll start with the first verse of this. 1 Kings 8:57. Solomon says, "The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers." The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Now, God had obviously been with the forefathers throughout history. You may recall stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and right on down the line, right to his father David. God was working incredibly powerfully in these people's lives. They had experienced him in powerful ways. So here Solomon prays that the same God who is active and involved in powerful ways with their forefathers would also be with him and his people as well. Okay? So the first thing, to avoid going through the motions in our spiritual life, at first, I think the first thing we have to do is ask God to help us realize his presence. Right? Ask God to help you, first of all, realize his presence. Now, as you write that down or jot that down, I notice that I didn't say ask God for his presence. Right? I didn't say ask God for his presence in your life. Here's the reality. If you have put your faith and trust in Jesus, then you already have the Spirit of God in you. Right? He is present with you because he's present in you. And that's what Scripture tells us. You can't outrun him. You can't hide from him. You can't escape him. He's in you. So his presence is with you. But we pray to ask God to help us realize his presence because you can't ignore him. You can refuse him. You can resist him. You can also fail to acknowledge him. I mean, he gives us the freedom to do that. He gives us the freedom to turn our backs on him if we so choose. But what I think is the most common thing when it comes to getting into, you know, a going through the motion, spiritual rut, is that we simply fail to recognize him in our life. Right? We don't realize his presence in our life because our spiritual eyes are closed to it. Right? So we've got to ask him to open our eyes and to realize that presence at work in us. So when we sing a song of worship, when we listen to a message, when we write a message, when we say a prayer, when we take time to read our Bibles, etc., all these things, it's not just an empty exercise. Right? God is with us in that moment. He's with us in every moment. He's with us in this moment. In a few moments, in a little bit when we start singing some other songs of worship, he'll be with us in that moment too. And the thing is, if we truly realize the presence of God in every moment of our life, it makes it awfully difficult for us to blow it off or not take it seriously and just go through the motions, doesn't it? Right? So the first thing we want to do is ask God to avoid going through the motions in our spiritual life. Ask God to help you realize his presence in your life. Now the next verse, verse 58, Solomon prays this, that God would incline their hearts to him so they could walk in all his ways and keep his commandments. He prays that God would incline their hearts toward him so they could walk in all his ways and keep his commandments. We often focus on that second part, right? We think going through the motions means, well, let's make sure we're keeping the commandments and walking in his ways. But the first part is more critical because it helps that second part. Incline our hearts toward him. Ask God to help us do that. To incline your heart means simply to have it bent toward him. Right? Our hearts are often inclined or bent towards other things. We have this tendency to not choose the things of God. So we need his help in this. Right? We need to ask God to help keep our hearts bent in his direction instead. Okay, so the second thing that we can do to help us avoid going through the motions is ask God to help you pursue his heart. Ask God to help you pursue his heart. Because when your heart is set on pursuing him, your life will follow suit. So many times we, again, try to get right with God and work harder to be good on our own strength and power. We try to clean up our act all by ourselves so God will, I don't know, love us more or be more pleased with us. We think that sometimes, but it doesn't work that way. God does want us to do the right things, but he doesn't just want us to do the right things. He wants us to have the right heart, because when we have the right heart, the rest is going to fall in line. And that's basically what Solomon says here. And then in a slightly different way, in a few verses later, verse 61, he says, "Let your heart, therefore, be wholly true to the Lord our God." And then he goes on, walking in his statutes and keeping his commandments at this day. Let your heart be wholly true to the Lord. So we need to ask him to help us keep our hearts inclined or bent toward him. Then we'll be able to pursue his ways. Right? So offer him our hearts. Ask him to help you pursue his heart. Right? That's the second thing. And then here's the last thing. Ask God to help you accomplish his purpose. Ask God to help you accomplish his purpose specifically through you. See, there's a far bigger deal here than just our own little life with God. We're called to make his greatness known to the world around us. He wants everyone to come to faith in Jesus. He's depending on us for that. He's called us to that. He's commissioned us to that. He's charged us with that. And we can't do that if we're going through the motions. We can't. So listen to the words of Solomon in verses 59 and 60. Just the second part of 59, he says this, "May he," talking about God, "may God maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel as each day requires." May he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel. Now, the cause is simply what God refers to next about being made known throughout the world. Solomon prays that God would maintain that cause, that he would be the one who gives them the strength as each day requires so that they can accomplish what he's called them to. See, God has purposes for you and me, right? He's got purposes he wants us to accomplish in that regard too, right? It's not just about our heart and having our heart right with him. He's got a purpose for us. So offer him our hands in that regard. Pray that he would maintain you, that he would give you what you need so you can accomplish those purposes in your own life. And help him be made known. Now, what's interesting how this all kind of comes full circle. Because, again, in order to accomplish his purposes, we got to go back to the beginning and recognize that his presence is in us in each and every moment. Because if we don't recognize that, we're going to miss the opportunities he puts before us. And then we're going to miss on accomplishing the purposes. So I think these three things are really significant in us trying to avoid that state of just going through the motions. And it's important we do that because so much is at stake in this life. I heard this great quote from General and President Dwight D. Eisenhower. And it was a quote about war. But he said this, "War is a terrible thing. But if you're going to get into it, you've got to get into it all the way." Right? Like, it doesn't make sense to just dabble in a war. If you're going into a war, you go into it to win the war. And you go in all the way. Well, we have a spiritual reality. Right? We're on a spiritual journey. But we're also in the midst of a spiritual battle, a spiritual war. And we have a mission to make him known to all the peoples of the earth. We can't give a half-hearted effort in that. We have got to get into it all the way, as he says. So we want to ask God to open our eyes so that we realize his presence. We want to offer him our hearts, to ask God to help us pursue his heart and keep our hearts bent towards him. We want to offer him our hands, ask God to help us accomplish his purposes through us. And if we do these things, I do believe it's going to help us avoid getting to that place where we're simply going through the motions. And if we're in that place right now, I believe it will help us get out of that rut if we've already found ourselves in that place. I want to close in prayer, and we're going to continue in worship. But as we pray, I want you to just kind of hear these words of Solomon one more time, but in a little bit abbreviated form, just to bring out what we've talked about this morning. "The Lord our God be with us. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to him. And may he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people, that all people may know that the Lord is God. Let your heart, therefore, be wholly true to the Lord, that you may be able to walk in his ways." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, we don't know where each person is at in this particular moment. In some ways, our walks with you, our spiritual life may be really moving forward and connecting with you. And in other ways, maybe we are kind of going through the motions. And if that's where we're at today, we want to, first of all, Father, we want to open our eyes. We want to ask you to help us realize your presence in us. We don't want to ignore you. We don't want to avoid you. We don't want to miss out on you. We know that you're with us in each and every moment. Help us to realize that presence. We also want to, Father, we want to offer you our hearts. We want to ask you to, we're asking you to help us pursue your heart for us, that our hearts would be inclined and bent towards you, towards what you want for us. And then ultimately, God, we also offer you our hands, the work that you've called us to do. We want to ask you to accomplish your purposes through us. And as we offer these things to you, as we ask your help in these areas, we pray that you would allow us to avoid coming to a place of going through the motions in our spiritual journey. We don't want that. We know you don't want that for us. But we ask for your help in this morning. And Father, even as we begin now to spend a few more moments in worship of you, let us be fully aware that you are here right now. Right here, right now. And so we want to worship you fully, knowing that your presence is with us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.